Welcome to Swiss Eduk.
My name is Hans Fischer, and my guest today is Audrey Niefenegger. Welcome, Audrey Niefenegger. Your book, The Time Traveler's Wife, is basically a love story between Claire, an artist, and Henry, a librarian, who is the time traveler. What is a time traveler? And how did you get to the idea of using one in a love story?
Well, the idea first came to me in the form of the title, and I was just drawing one day, and I had this phrase pop into my head, the time traveler's wife. And so I immediately knew that there would be two characters, and they would be married to each other, and the husband would be a time traveler. And as I started to think about it, I realized that it would be really difficult to be the wife, because she would be the one who would have to stay behind, and he would be the one who would have all the adventures. And so as I thought about it more and more, and I started to think about who the characters might be and what sort of adventures they might have, I realized that what I really cared about was the marriage and the relationship that these two people had, where one was always waiting and another one was always going and coming. And so as the story developed, that was kind of the main linchpin of it, was this tension between activity and passivity.
Okay. Now, that one character travels between different times makes the book not an easy read. And there's, for instance, an age difference between the main characters of 8 or 7 years.
Yeah.
And they meet each other for the first time in different years.
Yes.
Like Claire meets Henry in 1991, and Henry meets Claire for the first time in 1997. What help can you give students so that they can follow your plot more easily?
Well, I think my main advice to people when they first start to read the book is to actually let go of trying to keep track. Just follow the ages, because at the beginning of every scene I tell you how old they are. And if you know that, you begin to get a feel for what's happening to each one of them at different times in their life. And people have told me that they sometimes flip back through the book to see, you know, how old somebody was in a particular scene. But for the most part, I think if you just pay the normal amount of attention and don't try to meticulously track the dates as though it was a mystery novel, you'll be okay.
Okay. By the way, I love that sentence, when do you come from? I first read it and I thought, oops, is that a mistake? And then I realized.
There's not too many people you can say that to.
Yes, of course. The book is about love, and Claire wonders why love is intensified by absence. Could you tell us how we should understand this?
Well, I really do believe that this is true. When someone is present all the time, you have a chance to get bored with them. When you have somebody and you know that they're going to be there every day and you're going to wake up and they're there at breakfast, you tend to lose the keenness of your appreciation for the fact that they're there. I mean, some of us are good at remembering that this is sort of a miracle that we have someone to love. But I think a lot of people, it seems more romantic if someone's far away and then they come home and there's a big reunion and it's exciting. And there's a certain tension when the person that you love is doing something dangerous, you know, like an astronaut or a policeman or something. And so when you combine these two things of danger and absence, it sort of ups the stakes for the relationship, and it makes it easier to remember that it's exciting to have someone.
But the book is also about determinism and free will.
Mm-hmm.
And Henry, for instance, cannot decide when to time travel. And he says once, if you are in time, not knowing, you're free. Are we free when we know little? Is that not knowing?
Well, by definition, we never know. We don't really know what the future will bring, and we can't. We can make our best guesses, but you and I don't know what's going to happen to us 10 minutes from now. I mean, we could guess. We're going to still be doing this interview. Mm-hmm. But you never know when you know, meteors may hit the Earth and cause the new ice age or something. So probability is one thing and fate is another thing. And in the book, I never come down on one side or the other. I never say these characters are completely ruled by fate. I never say these characters have total free will. And even though Henry knows the future, I don't think he has any more or less free will than the rest of us.
You use facts not everybody might be familiar with. For instance, Henry gets invited to the Christmas dinner with Claire's family, and when they are called to the table, you say, and they stand up Pavlovian-like.
Mm-hmm.
Or Dr. Kendrick looks like D.H. Lawrence. And another example, when Claire and Henry look for a name for their daughter, the song is quoted in French without any translation. Now, do you expect your readers to be well-educated, or can such passages be overread without losing anything?
A little of both. I pay my readers the respect of assuming that they get out in the world and read books and so forth. But what I love myself, and have loved since I was a child, is to read something that's a little over my head, you know, or a book that refers to something I don't know about, and then I'll go look it up. So certain things in other people's books have become important to me because it was the first time I ever heard of that thing.
Yeah, but later on, Henry quotes the last stanza of Rainer Maria Rilke's fifth elegy. And then only the beginning is in German and the rest is translated.
Mm-hmm.
Why is there the translation necessary then?
Sometimes I don't want to leave it up to the reader to go look it up. You know, some things, it was very important to me that people get what it was, you know, and so I provide the translation.
Okay. When Henry time travels, he cannot take anything with him, not even his clothes. And what do you mean by this expression? Why can't he take things with him?
Well, I don't think we've talked yet about the fact that Henry's time travel is the result of a genetic mutation. And your genetic mutation is not going to get your sweater to move across time with you. And so when I was thinking about the fact that this is his body that we're dealing with, I thought, well, okay, naturally he's going to have to go naked because you can't bring anything with you. I mean, he even has a tooth pulled because he can't keep the filling because it isn't part of him.
Mm-hmm. Is it only Claire who sees his nakedness, or do the others see it too?
Oh, anybody would. I mean, he's a real person.
Yeah, because the strange fact is, when he reappears from another time and seemingly from swimming in Lake Michigan, the police only finds him for, what is it, swimming when the lifeguard is on duty.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if you read a whole lot of comic books when you were...
No, I have not. Okay. I have to tell you that.
All right. Well, in a way, I'm kind of... It's a little bit of a parody, because in comic books with superheroes, Superman and Batman and all these people, they're constantly doing things like changing into Clark Kent in a phone booth and vice versa, and somehow no one notices. And so I've given Henry a little bit of this obliviousness of the world around him when it suits me, mm-hmm. as an author, when mm-hmm. when it happens to be convenient for me to have no one notice him, they don't.
The book is called The Time Traveler's Wife, so actually Claire seems to be the more important character. And on the other hand, that Henry is a time traveler makes him very fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you give the book this title?
Well, as I was talking about in the beginning, the title was the first thing that I thought of.
Mm-hmm.
It's the germ of the idea. And for me, really, the book is about their marriage. But after I had been working on it for a while, I fortuitously found this quote that appears on the title page by J.B. Priestley. And the quote, which I'm about to read to you, quote says, "Clock time is our bank manager, tax collector, police inspector. This inner time is our wife." And once I found that quote, the whole thing made complete sense to me, because Henry is not only married to Claire, but he's married to this quirky, out of sync time that he's living. And it's such an intimate part of him that it really is inseparable from him.
What could the reader in general learn from the time traveler?
Well, the most obvious moral of the story, I suppose, is carpe diem, seize the day. Don't put things off. Be mindful and value the time that you have. I think quite a lot of people have written to me that it made them appreciate their husband or wife or lover more. I've gotten a lot of mail from people who suddenly had this newfound sort of a renewal of the sense of being lucky to have this person.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Audrey Niefenegger, for taking your time and giving us all the great information.
Thank you.